The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, Peter Aiken, who owns the music promoter company Aiken Promotions, has said that shows will likely be cancelled left, right and centre because of rising oil costs. So are those rising costs hurting the music scene? David Brown from Picture House joins me now, as does NECAP manager Daniel Lambert. And Daniel, I'll start with you. And Peter's looking ahead into the summer and saying the likelihood is, as far as he can see, that this is going to have an impact. Do you agree with him?
But things stay the way they are. If the illegal war continues against Iran, then absolutely, I think that you're planning kind of 7, 8, 9 months ahead in terms of travel, sometimes a year in terms of travel. And for a band to move around, there's obviously production equipment, which normally involves trucking. There's the band themselves and the crew, which involves flights. And it's a complex logistical kind of set of plans that, you know, with multiple gigs, even you have lots of bands with it. One weekend could play 3 festivals, a Friday, Saturday and a Sunday. And if, you know, we're seeing mass flight cancellations, if things like that were to continue, it would definitely make things very, very difficult.
Because when you think about it, I mean, gigs, music, people traveling around, it relies so much on energy, right? So if the prices shoot up, there's an inevitable consequence there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may well not just be around the cost, you know, and I suppose people might realise like the amount of equipment and people that need to travel with an act to play a festival is considerable, you know. So very often, especially if you're going into new countries, it might be a case that a band is going to a new country on a break-even basis, even though the gig might appear to be quite large. And what ends up, you know, the costs are high. An international gigging normally involves withholding taxes in the countries that you play in. So there's normally a chunk that goes to domestically to that country for tax. And then on top of that, staff time, travel time. And if costs go up, that's impacting that. But the mass cancellations we're seeing, if they begin to fall, sometimes there might be only one flight that you're relying upon that enables a weekend to happen. And if you lose one of them, it throws everything into disarray.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've touched on something there. Like, I mean, we have heard this a lot on the programme, that it's hard enough for artists to make money from a gig now, and some of them are carrying losses. So if the costs go up, you can see where this is going to go. I mean, it just will become completely unfeasible to do these events.
Yeah, totally. I think the transformation of music since the 90s, where, you know, a band had the era of MTV Cribs, where someone has, you know, a number one hit single and they live in a mansion, those days are long gone. And, you know, there's been a consolidation. There's a lot of, you know, you see, you know, entities like Spotify where there's just huge control over the music industry. Live gigging is the only way and merchandise that bands can make any real money in artists. And international gigs, for the reasons I've outlined, are already difficult to operate in. And if you introduce this on top, and I think, look, it's worth, man, I think it's important to say this, like this war, when it started on Iran, like hundreds of school kids were killed, and the New York Times reported that nearly 1,000 hospitals and schools have been bombed. This is a crazy war, and that's actually the real suffering here is the people of Iran, and not you know, bands and artists, although they have to do their best.
Yeah, and I take that point, and I think people will hear that loud and clear, but we're dealing here with this on this program with the ramifications of this, which just seems to be reaching into pretty much every part of our lives. And if it's not already, it will do in the coming months. You know, we don't know where this is going. If it doesn't end soon, though, this is going to have, you know, all sorts of impacts, which we're only coming to terms with now. Dave Brown, as I said, from Picture House, is with us. Dave, you're very welcome to the program.
Thanks, Claire. Good morning.
You're seeing the impacts already, is that right?
You see, I was just listening to what Daniel was saying there, and even on a smaller grassroots level in Ireland, if you look even at the wedding industry, the cost for these things going up, but the price that the band are receiving, or the entertainment are receiving for that wedding or event, was agreed almost a year ago, or more in some cases, two or 3 years ago. And, you know, it's very unlikely that you can go back to your client and say, oh, listen, we're looking forward to doing your wedding this weekend. However, there's a fuel surcharge now, you know, which is what some of the airlines are doing. I mean, I spoke to a person the other day who was supposed to go on a flight to Australia, and an airline contacted him and said, well, you know, you can still fly, but your price has gone up by 300 quid. So we can't do that. We can't pass on those costs, unfortunately. So like, it's like planning ahead for gigs or shows that are supposed to happen, you know, within the next year. As I say, the prices were agreed a year or so or more ago. So it's really hurting the bottom line, you know?
Yeah, but you can't, I suppose, I mean, I know you say you can't do that. You can't change an agreed price, but you also can't continue to absorb rising costs yourself. You know, you're going to have to try and share that cost.
True, but equally, you know, as I say, when those agreements are made, they are signed contracts, Claire, and we have to abide by them. And you know, obviously, you can try your best with your client to say, look, is there any chance you might help us with the few, you know, and some will, you know, in fairness to them, but a lot won't. You know, that's the agreed price and that's it. So, it, you know, and a lot of these, a lot of bands, you know, as we could say, don't have a massive bottom line. You know, it's not it's not like a huge amount of money we're talking about here. And if you're, let's say if you're gigging in Kerry one night and then you're in Donegal the next night, you know, as much as we do our best to make sure that doesn't happen, sometimes it does. And those fuel costs are immense. And if, you know, if that's spreading over, say, a gigging period of your summer period, 2 or 3 months, it's really, really going to affect badly. You know, and could lead to some cancellations, I suspect.
Yeah, and Peter Reagan was talking about, he was more focused on the international acts coming to Ireland. And his prediction is that by the end of the year or in the next couple of months, that those artists will look at it and just go, do you know what? It's just not worth it for me to come and do this gig.
Well, there's that, and equally, as you were discussing there a few minutes ago, the you know, cancellation of flights themselves, the logistics of actually moving the whole thing, may become impossible. Like, you know, as I say, trying to get the bands over here and the equipment over here, it's not just the band saying, oh, I'm not going to make the money, which is one thing. And again, Claire, they would have agreed a fee for these for the festivals over the summer a year ago. That's what would have happened. And if they're looking at it and some flights are cancelled due to that the airline have cancelled them, or that it's just become financially unfeasible to do it, you know, he's correct in what he's saying. It's inevitable if it continues that is going to happen.
Yeah, and just more generally, I mean, we always had, if we think back, the big acts would always have come to Ireland, wouldn't they? Like, they'd always make a stop off here, Dave. And then in recent times, we've seen that they're not as much as they used to. You know, they are going to London, they're going to France, they're going to mainland Europe, and they're skipping the Ireland stop. So clearly there's been a calculation made prior to the energy crisis that it's just too expensive to come here.
Correct. And I think that's, well, that's another day, you know, show for another day. But I think that's down to the large expense of coming here and how expensive it is to get a band over here and put them up when they're here, for example. So if you have 20 in your crew and you're trying to put them in a hotel in Dublin, it's a lot more expensive than it is anywhere else. And until we address the high cost of everything in Ireland, I think you're going to see more and more of that thing happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a thing when we came out of the pandemic that we would value our artists and our gigs and all of that. There was a bit of it with the living wage, wasn't there? The efforts, and that's been made less. It's a permanent measure now, and there are those who say it's so hard to get it. And it'll
you're talking about the universal income there, the basic income,
Income for artists. I mean, there have been some moves to address income in the arts. Obviously, from your point of view, not going far enough.
No, we were decimated during COVID, Claire. You know, as everybody knows, we were first out and last back, and they really, really dragged it out for us. I mean, you know, some of the ridiculous things that were going on with bands having to play in a different room and all this nonsense that went on, and it went on and on and on. So it was very hard for us to come back. And then, of course, the PUP dropped incrementally and we were still unable to work. So that really affected people's income and livelihoods for a long time after COVID. You know, it still took a long time for people to come back and recover from that. But the universal, I think the basic income for artists is a great idea, because it just helps artists that qualify, obviously, to help do what they do without that constant fluctuation and pressure of the. And it's not a massive amount of money. I mean, it's considerable, don't get me wrong, and it is a game changer for people who get it. But what I'm saying is, it's not, for your listeners to understand, it's not like thousands per week or anything.
It's hard to get, isn't it?
It's very hard to get, and it's a lottery. It's not that the bar is high. The problem is, it's a lottery. And there's only, you know, I haven't got the figures in front of me, Claire, but there's something like 6,000 registered artists in Ireland. That's kind of the figure. I'm sure there's people argue the toss either way, but not by much. And this applies to 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. So if you qualify, and if you go through the process and you qualify, that's one thing. But if you're not picked out of the hat, you don't get it.
Yeah, which means it's not universal. You know, it's not universal for artists.
No, it's not by any means, and you know, to do the 2000, I think costs 18.75 million, I think, to do the 2000. So if you multiplied that by three and held all the artists out, again, artists that qualify, we've no problem qualifying for these things, to kind of say, well, if you're earning a certain amount of money per year and it's a lot, then you don't get it. You know, obviously, it is targeted in that way, but I definitely feel that it wouldn't be a massive stretch to do it for all the artists that need it. It really wouldn't.
Trish in Cork has been in touch, Dave, and says that fans won't spend the money travelling to Dublin for events, fuel, accommodation and food. And this is going to hit from both sides, both the artists and the fans. But then you have Celine Dion. She wants us all to go to Paris to see her.
Well, look, it's that same old story, Claire. I mean, some bands could play in Dublin for free and not get an audience. And then if you know, other bands can come and charge 500 quid a ticket and sell the place out.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just we're a bit weird that way. But I think your listener is quite correct there. And that's what I was talking about. When you scale that up to an international affair, you know, people coming here, even the acts themselves, the cost of putting things on in Ireland is huge. It really, really is, you know, and especially for the person going to the concert, you know, that's, and the worry would be if shows are cancelled, you know, will hotels refund the money of people that were booked into hotels to come and see a show and all that, and how much lead time into cancellations will there be, you know? So it could range from mildly put you out mildly to catastrophic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We're not there yet, but
we're not there yet.
Peter Aiken certainly feels that it is coming unless things change. Dave, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us. Dave Brown there from Picture House, and we're also joined by NECAP manager Daniel Lambert.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.